Joel to be here. If you have your Bibles, which you should, amen, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 142. Psalms, chapter 142. And I do count it indeed a privilege just, you know, to come and visit when we can, but then to get to preach on top of that, it's like the cherry on top of a banana split, amen. And I appreciate the opportunity to preach, preacher. God bless. The Lord just recently opened up another door of opportunity for me to pastor back down in South Carolina. I've pastored three churches. And back in November, the Lord allowed us to take another church about an hour from where we live. And we desire your prayers. We've got a lot of work to do. The church was without a pastor for 5 years. Their pastor passed away in 2020 from COVID, and they went 5 years without a man of God. I applaud those that are still there that held the church together. The church is, there's some good people. We got about 20 people. Good people. They love the Lord, and they have, you know, without a pastor for them to keep that church going for 5 years, I applaud them for it. I do, and I know it's the Lord, but the Lord uses people, and there's some good people in that church, and I'll be honest with you, they called and asked me about, matter of fact, the pastor was one of my Sunday school teachers probably 50 years ago, and he went down to that area and started that church and had it for about 15 years till he passed away. And the Lord allowed us to go there. I received a call from his wife and asked me if I was pastoring anywhere, and I told her no. She said, well, and she told me about the church, and she said, would you mind if I give them your name and number? And, of course, you know, a preacher wants to preach. And I'll be honest with you, I went down there just to preach. But the more I went down there, the more the Lord knit our hearts together. And pray for us. If you ever think about it, pray for Harvest Baptist Church, that God would help us. And I'd love to see the Lord do something there in that church. And pray that God would help me and help me to be the pastor I need to be. And I'd love to see the Lord bless it. So if you ever think about it, God reminds you of Harvest Baptist Church. You pray for us. I'd appreciate that so much. All right, Psalms 142. I appreciate the opportunity that I taught over in the Glory Days class Sunday morning. I think that's what it's called, right? Glory Days. And I appreciate that. One man that sat on the front row told me to preach to those that were on the back row that they needed it. So nobody said nothing today, so I guess I can preach to all rows, right? But the Lord laid a thought on my heart, and it will not be a message of indictment, but I want to try to encourage you tonight. We're living in some perilous times, and I don't know how it is up here, but back down our way in South Carolina, I've never seen so much sickness as I see down there. Seems like, you know, people's got cancer and tumors and all kind of sickness going on. And then on top of that, there's troubles and trials just of everyday life. One man said this, that we are either as a child of God, and I'm not talking about lost people, I'm talking about saved people. It seems like we are either going into a trial, or we've just come out of a trial, or we're in the middle of a trial right now. You know, we were not promised that everything would go our way, but we were promised and are promised that no matter what comes our way, God is there. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. And I don't know, some of you I know, some of you I don't know, so you can't indict me of picking on anybody. I don't know what you may be going through tonight. You could be here tonight and you are fighting hell by the acres. You're saved by the grace of God. You're on your way to heaven. But it just seems like you're being bombarded with the devil, maybe with sickness, troubles, trials. We're promised that those things are going to come. The Bible tells us in this life that you and I are living, that we're going to have those days. Yea, and all that will live godly, and that's the key, in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Job tells us that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And the Bible also tells us in the book of James that that we're in trouble as the sparks fly upward. But Jesus said this, that no matter what we are facing, no matter what we're going through, Jesus said this, that my grace will be and is sufficient. So whatever we may be going through tonight, I want you to understand, and that's what I want to point us to tonight, is that God's grace will be there. And again, I don't know what you may be going through. I know God laid this on my heart. No doubt in my heart. And I, as a preacher, you preachers will understand this. Sometimes you get an open door to preach, and it seems like you study, and then eventually the Lord gives you what to preach. Then there are times when you get that open door, and that quickly God speaks to your heart. Well, this is what happened to this. I was asked Thursday to preach tonight. And so immediately, God laid this on my heart. My wife got upset with me because she said, I didn't know you was preaching tonight. I said, well, I told you I was. She said, no, you didn't. So I guess we'll get to kiss and make up tonight. Amen. I think that'll be all right. Psalms 142. I want to read verse 1 through 7. And you pray for me tonight. Psalms 142. And if you have your Bible in front of you, in my Bible, this tells me that this is a psalm of David when he was in the cave. Now, I don't know if yours, if you have the headings like that. He didn't say that he was in a cave, but he was in the cave. Bible students tell us, or commentators tells us, that there were two caves that David often went to. It was the cave of Indijah. I guess that's how you say that. That's the way I say it in South Carolina. If it's different, then you call it whatever you want to. Then there's the cave of Adullam. So it don't really matter which cave this is talking about. But David is in a cave. And I want to preach for a few minutes on crying out in a cave. You may be there tonight. Look in verse number 1. David said, and I want you to notice the wording. This is not just a bunch of words. This is coming from the deepest part of David's heart. He's struggling. He's on the run. Notice what he says. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way where I have walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. And here's six of the saddest words, I believe, in our Bible. No man cared for my soul. That's a message within itself right there. Verse number 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Would you? pray for me tonight as we preach. Father, thank you for the good reading of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight. Lord, you've laid this upon my heart, and you know exactly who is here tonight. And I pray that you would empty me of self. God, I pray that you'd forgive me where I've failed thee, where I've sinned and come short of thy glory. I pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit. May you guard my lips. Help me not to say anything that you do not want me to say. But Lord, may you help me to say everything that you would have me to say here tonight. You know the hearts of every person gathered here tonight. And I pray that you'd use your word to accomplish that which we purpose it for tonight. Have your will in your way tonight. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There is several things different ways I could go with the message. When I think about a cave, many, many years ago, I don't know, a bunch of years ago, my wife and I and our children went to a place, I think up in Tennessee, called the Lost City. And it was a cave that you could go into, and you had to walk a good piece to get down into that cave. And once you got to the end of it, it was dark. There was a big old pond. It had to be about the size of this auditorium here. And they had some big old catfish. I mean, some of them about that long, swimming around in there. And we was listening to the man that was talking about, and he was describing everything and how far we were down into the earth. And he said something that I have never forgot. Those fish that are in that pond there, they have been in that pond and in that darkness so long that they have become blind. Now, when he said that, I didn't think too much about it. But over the years, I've thought about what that man said. And I remember that the McCameys sing a song about getting used to the dark. And if you and I are not careful, we can get used to the dark. And it may harm us. Just like those fish are legally blind, if we stay in the dark long enough, then we could possibly be spiritually blind. When I think about a cave, I think about there's a positive side, there's a negative side. Just let me give you this quickly. The positive side of a cave, and you can find this throughout the Word of God, is this, that a cave is a place of purpose. And it could be that the Lord has put you in a cave for the purpose, maybe, of revealing His will for your life. You see, God has a will for every person that He saved. I believe everybody that gets saved by the grace of God, God has a will for your life. There's something that He wants you to do. There's a person that He wants you to be. There's a place that He wants you to go. Could be a missionary, could be a pastor, could be a Sunday school teacher, could be just a faithful church member. And God knows our churches need faithful people today. So a cave could be a place of purpose. It could be a place of protection. God may have been leading you into a cave tonight just to protect you. And then it is a place of perfection. Maybe God, again, is putting you there. He's trying to perfect your life. You see, we don't like it when we go through storms of this life. I've never met anybody that is happy about the troubles and trials and heartaches of this life, but we all are going to have them. But it may be that God has got you in that position just to perfect His will in your life. But then a cave could be a place of praise. When God reveals to you why He put you there, then you and I can praise Him for what He's done for us. Now, all of those will preach, but I want to just flip the coin over. And I believe there's one thing about the negative side of a cave. The negative side is this, that I believe that a cave is a place of pain. And we all are going to have painful days. None of us will escape this life without the troubles and trials of this life. Again, I don't know where you are tonight, but I do know that God laid this on my heart. When I think about a cave, I think about a cave as dark. That cave that we went to, they had lights on the wall, and once everybody got in there and was gathered around there, the man made the statement. He said, I'm getting ready to turn off the lights, and he said, I'm going to show you what true darkness is like. And he said, I'm going to tell you right now, just stand where you are. Do not move once we turn these lights off. So they went over and flipped a switch, and all the lights went out. And you talk about darkness. It was so dark that you could just feel the darkness surrounding you. And I think sometimes, and you may be there tonight, you may have been there in the past. I've not really had really dark days, but I have dark days. I've had them in my life. I've gone through things in this life. And some of you probably have gone through even darker days than I have. But I don't want you to realize, and while I lead up to this, I'm going to leave on a good note. But caves are dark. They're also damp. I've noticed as we were going down that big old walkway, and you could just see the water running off the walls. Dark days, they're damp days. And then a cave is dangerous. You don't never know what you're going to face once you go into a cave. I remember I was in the Boy Scouts, and we was in a place in Tennessee that we went to a camp up there, and they had several caves up there, and you could hike up into them caves, and you never knew what you was going to face. You never knew what was in there. You had to be aware that could be a bear in there. And then I thought about the caves were damaging days, just like those fish that was in that pond. It damaged them, and it damaged their eyesight. And then I thought about the caves sometime are deadly. They found human bones in caves down through the years. But I want to give you three things tonight that I feel like the Lord has really touched my heart with. David said in verse number 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Crying out in a cave. And it may be that you are there tonight and you need to cry out unto the Lord. You need some help. You need some strength. You need some encouragement. You need some directions in your life. And I assure you, the Lord is the one that's going to give you those directions. Whatever you stand in need of tonight, I promise you this, it don't matter what you're going through tonight, God will either deliver you or He will give you grace until you come out of that. My grace will always be sufficient for you. You'll never face anything in this life that the grace of God cannot come along and pick you up. You say, but preacher, you don't understand where I am. Maybe I don't, but I'm going to tell you one more time. You will never go through anything in this life that God's grace is not able to help you. And I'll close with that. But notice the condition of David. First of all, verse number 3, David's spirit was in darkness. In verse number 3, notice what he said, when my spirit was overwhelmed. That word overwhelmed means to be overtaken. David is not there on his own choosing. David was pushed into that cave. Absalom was after him. Absalom wanted to take over the throne, and he even tried to kill him. But David got to that cave, and I remember hearing the preacher preach one time that there were people in the cave with David. But yet David felt like he was all alone. Nobody was in there but him, but there was over 200 people there with him. You may be there tonight. Your spirit may be in darkness tonight. Then David said in verse number 3 that his steps were in danger. He says in verse number 3, in the way privately I have walked, and they privately have laid a snare for me. David's steps was in danger. The third thing that I'll mention was David's soul was deserted. I notice what he said in verse number 4. He said, I looked on my right hand and beheld. You may be there tonight. You may be in verse number 4 tonight. You're saved. As I said a while ago, you're on your way to heaven. You're trying to live for God. You're trying to please God. You're trying to find God's will for your life. And it seems like you're in a trouble, a trial, a cave tonight, and you don't understand why. You're not there by accident. I don't believe there's no such thing as an accident in a child of God's life. You are there for a reason. David said in verse number 4, I looked on my right hand
and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. I have been in verse number 4. I have been to the place in my spiritual life where I felt like I was all alone. I looked to my right hand and there was nobody there. I looked to the left and there was nobody there. And I tried to figure out, God, where are you? I never will forget when Pastor Freeman was in South Carolina pastoring. We was going to another church and we left that church. And I really didn't know where I was going to go. And I prayed and God laid that Faith Baptist Church on my heart. And I remember going there on a Wednesday night and people began to look shocked. Why are you here? I'll tell you where I was. I was in a dark place. I was in a damp place. I was in a dangerous place. I was in a place where I was saved, trying to serve God, but there's some things that happened that I just didn't understand. And I'm thankful that God led us there because God used this man to help me and to help my family and to get us back on our feet. And preacher, I will ever be indebted to you for the preaching of the Word of God. And it was not just him, but the whole church. I mean, they just opened up their arms and welcomed us into the fellowship of that church. But I'm going to tell you something. I was in a dark place in my life. I needed help. And it was nothing that I'd done. I was not living in sin. I was just in a dark place. And you were going to be there from time to time. So, preacher, I've never been in one. Well, hang on. I don't want to be a bearer of bad news, but I'll tell you what the Bible says again. Yea, and all that will live godly. Are you trying to live right? You're trying to do right. And still those bad days come and we don't understand. And it may not be in this life where God gives you the answer. We may have to wait till we get home to glory before we find out why God put us in those places. So the condition of David, he says in verse number 4, look what he said, I looked on my right hand, behold, there was no man that would know me. Notice this phrase, refuge failed me. What was the, you know what that refuge was there for David? That cave. Now he mentions another refuge in verse 5, but in verse number 4, I believe he's talking about that refuge that he thought he was getting into was that cave. He felt like if he can get in there, Absalom wouldn't find him, the enemy wouldn't find him, he would be all right. But yet when he got in there, notice what happened. His spirit, his steps, and his soul became troubled. And he looked around, and that refuge that David thought he was going to get in that cave was not there. But here's the problem. It was not the cave that David needed. Look at verse number 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and said. Notice what it said. Thou art my refuge. What David needed was the presence of the Lord. He didn't need the presence of the cave. What he needed was the presence of the Lord. So how did he get the presence? Not only his condition, but notice his cry. It was a cry, according to verse number 2, a cry of desperation. Look at verse number 2. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Back up in verse 1, he said, I cried unto the Lord. David, you know, when somebody cries, it is a loud cry. It is an outward cry. We went to Washington, to D.C. yesterday, and went to the zoo up there, and went to Arlington, and then we went to the zoo. And I thought about it as we were up, there was people pushing these little babies around in strollers. And they was three or four of them, them little kids, they were not having a happy day. I mean, the animals wasn't doing nothing for them. Them little babies were screaming to the top of the earth. And we were sitting down on the side under a shade tree because, you know, as you get older, yeah, I'm older than you are. As you get older, some of them hills get a little bit hard. Now, don't you young whippersnappers laugh at me. You're going to be there in a few years. But there was a young guy and a young girl, and they had a stroller and had a little baby, and that baby was screaming to the top of its lungs. And I kept looking, because they're about far from here to the wall from us, and I kept looking up there, why don't you do something for that baby? Then I got looking at mom and daddy. Probably not even old enough to know how to take care of a baby. I started to go over here to the snack bar and buy that baby an ice cream or something and stick it in its mouth, you know. But I'm talking about crying. One of the hardest things to deal with is to watch somebody cry. I mean, they are hurting. Oh, by the way, three reasons why a baby will cry. Tiffany will get this, and Andy will get this. They have a 10-month-old baby. You know, those are little ones around here. Three reasons why a baby will cry. Either they're hungry, or they're hurting, or they have a heavy diaper. Now, put that down. You can preach on that sometime. I believe that'll preach somewhere. Maybe not here, but it'll preach somewhere. But there's the cry. That was a cry of desperation. Have you been there? Are you there tonight? Are you in a cave tonight? And it don't matter what kind of cave it is, a cave of financials, a cave of physical, a cave of spiritual. You may be there tonight. Maybe you're hurting spiritually or financially or materially or the other one that I mentioned, whatever it was. You're here tonight and you're in a cave and you cry out. Here's a loud cry. Not only a cry of desperation, but it's a cry of dissatisfaction. David was dissatisfied where he was, and we can be there, and we don't want to be there. You ever been somewhere where you didn't want to be? I've been there. I've been a few places where I wished I was not there. Not the house of God, amen. But I've been to places, but listen, a cave. David was dissatisfied with that. Notice what he said in verse number 2, the end of verse 2. I showed before him my trouble. Notice the words that David used. Supplication, complaint, trouble, overwhelmed, refuge was gone. David was in a place that he was dissatisfied. It was also a cry of declaration. I like what David said in verse number 5. He said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. It was a cry. In verse 6 and 7, it was a cry of deliverance. And I want to talk just for a few minutes about his deliverance. I want you to look in verse number 6 and verse number 7. We see the condition of David. We see the cry of David. But I want to talk about the confidence of David. Now, I've been saved for 48 years. I don't mind telling you, I'm 69 years old. I've been saved for 48 years. And I promise you, in 48 years, I've had some troubles. I've had trials. I've had heartaches. I've had anguish. I've had pain. I've had sorrow. You have too, if you've been saved for any length of time. But here's what I've noticed in 48 years, and I'll close in verse 6 and 7. I want you to see the confidence of David. And here's what I have seen. Again, I may not be going through or have ever gone through anything where you are tonight. But I've been through enough to know that God's grace has always been there. And I know that it will always be there. And it'll be there today if and when I need it. I want you to see three things about the confidence that David had. In verse number 6, here's how David got out of a cave. You're here tonight. You're in a cave. You want to get out? Well, all of us do. None of us want to stay in that cave. It's dark. It's damp. It's dangerous. It's deserted. It could even be deadly. Do you want to get out of that cave? There's three things that David done. First of all, in verse number 7, David got out of that cave, first of all, in verse number 7, notice, or verse 6, he said, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Verse 7, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The first thing that I want you to notice that got David out of that cave was, we see David shouting praises to God. You know, my Bible tells me that the Lord inhabits the praises of Israel. You want to get God's presence on your life? Then here's how you can do that. Start praising Him. And I realize that sometimes when we are burdened down, I thought about Matthew, where Matthew says, call unto me, and I better turn over. I'll mess it up short as well because I already have. Let me read you this. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number, Matthew chapter 6. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 6 verse number 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. David, first of all, began to seek God first in his life. Notice his praises. He cried out. He said, Lord, I want to praise you. And if you get in those troubles, and when you get in that cave, the first thing we need to do is start praising him. Because when we start praising him, as I said, the Lord, I think, shows up. And when we start lifting up praises unto his name, God shows up. And God will manifest his presence in our lives. I'll say this, even some of you young people that are left here tonight that didn't leave tonight, you can be in those places. You don't have to be an older person to be in a cave. You don't have to be a middle-aged person to be in a cave. Everybody, all ages can be in the cave from time to time. David, first of all, began to shout praises unto God. And then here's the second thing. In verse number 7, he was surrounded by the people of God. And he said, well, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, look in verse number 7. He said, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about. Let me give you two things about surrounding yourself with the people of God. Because I've seen this happen from pastoring three churches, now my fourth church, from being faithful in the house of God for 48 plus years since I have been saved. Thank God. Listen, I'm glad that I never have gotten out of church. I've been swayed a little bit, but I've tried to be faithful for 48 years in the house of God, and I have seen this happen too many times. When a person gets in a storm of this life or gets in a cave in this life, one of the first things that happens is that they get defeated and discouraged and they get slack on God. I'm talking about people that are faithful in the house of God. And usually, here's the way that it happens. It usually starts with Sunday school. They'll start missing a Sunday school every now and then. And then that Sunday school will lead to a Wednesday night, maybe a Wednesday night every now and then. And preachers, pastors notice this. And can I just say this? If you sit in that same chair every time you come to church, your pastor has a mental picture of where everybody sits. And he can stand in this pulpit and he can glance over there. And if you're not there, he knows you're missing. And I'm going to tell you, there's a danger in that. If you start switching around, he may not be able to pray for you like you need him to. And I realize with the church your size, sometimes if you don't get here at a certain time, somebody gets your seat. There's nothing more discouraging than to go to a church where you're not a member. You go there for a revival meeting. And I always want to be careful about where I sit. I try to find a pew that no Bibles on, no pocketbooks, no bottles, no cups. And I'll sit down there. My wife and I went to a revival meeting. I'll not tell you, you don't know the church anyway. We went there and the choir come down and we were sitting in the seat. Woman come down out of the choir, walked by there and got stunned at her word. She said, I hope you know you got my seat. I probably should have just got up and left because the spirit done got grieved within me. I have never been back to that church since then. That's probably been 25, 30 years ago. So if you come in, somebody's got your seat, just, you know, find you another one. I tried to be careful about when we come here because I know with the size that y'all have, everybody, about every seat gets taken. So where my wife is sitting there in front of Brother David, if that's your seat and you usually sit there, don't beat me up after church, okay? Just bear with me. I'm a visitor, okay? You can have it back Sunday. We'll have to go back to South Carolina Saturday, so you can have that seat back. I don't know how I got off on that, but anyway, let me fill up. Yeah, I'm talking about, here's what David done, and here's what I see happening as a pastor. When a person gets in a cave, one of the first things that the devil will do is climb up on your shoulder. And he'll start whispering in your ears, well, if God really loved you, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through. You know that's a lie of the devil. I mean, how do you know that's a lie of the devil? Can I just say that any time the devil speaks up, he don't know how to tell the truth. He's a liar. And the father of all lies. He cannot tell the truth. You may not be in a cave because of something you've done wrong. Remember, that cave may be a place where God's trying to perfect you. God's trying to get his purpose done in your life. And sometimes God has to set us down. Sometimes God has to lay us down in the flat of our back to get our attention. I've got a man in my church right now he's 80-something years old, for the last year and a half, he's gone downhill. Physically, and there just a few weeks ago, they done called the family in that he was going to die. And I remember we gathered at the church on a Sunday night. But before we left, we usually pray on Wednesday nights. But on Sunday night, I got the church together, and we all gathered around the altar and prayed for him. And Monday morning, he was fine. He was not well, but he was better. They done took him off of a breathing machine. They put him on that breathing sheet to keep him alive. But we prayed. You can say whatever you want to. God answered our prayer. God heard us when we prayed, and God raised him up. He's in a hospital in Winston-Salem right now, doing a little bit better. Trying to get his legs strength built back up so he can get back home, back down to wherever we from, South Carolina. Wow. See, that's another reason why you don't want to get old. But anyway, here's what I see happening. I think about two military terms. And I see this happening in churches today, in saved people today. When a storm comes, if you're in that storm, if you're in that cave tonight, first of all, don't end up as a MIA. You know what an MIA is? That's a military term. Missing in action. You see, because if you're not careful, now listen to me tonight. I'm trying to help you. Tonight. The devil will try to get you to quit church. And I've never understood why people listen to the devil. Because you know what he's trying to do. He's trying to, where's the best place that David found help? He was in that cave. The cave didn't give him no relief. But it was the man in the cave that gave him relief. You're in the house of God. Who's here tonight that's going to help you? That's none other than the Lord himself. God's here. And God is going to help you. But if you turn your back on him and walk off, he can't help you. So don't quit. I know that's one of the things that the devil uses, one of the tricks of the trades. You know, Corinthians tells us that we're not ignorant of his devices. And the devil's got many devices to get you and I out of the house of God. He usually starts, as I said, by missing a Sunday school every now and then. Then it gets to Wednesday night, and then it's Sunday night, and then Sunday mornings. You know, one man said, talked about people leaving. He said they come to the house of God and they're shouting. You know, they're praising God. As soon as the preacher says, anybody got a word of testimony? I mean, they just start popping up. What we used to call in South Carolina, popcorn testimony, where they just pop up. You don't have to beg on them. You don't have to plead with them. You don't have to pay them. I'll give you $5 if you testify tonight. They call that popcorn. But they quit testifying. So they come to the house and they're shouting. Then the next time you see them, they're doubting. They're doubting whether they're saved. They're doubting whether God's good to them. They shouting. Then they doubting. Then they start pouting. You know, you can see them, they come in. And then the next thing you know, they're outing. They're gone. Nothing will discourage the man of God anymore than unfaithfulness. Now, granted, there are times when you can't come. I understand that. You may have to work, maybe out of town. You get sick. You know, sure, the ox gets in the ditch sometimes. But don't be the one to push the ox in the ditch. Ditch, that'd be a big ditch, wouldn't it? But here's what I'm saying. Listen, don't quit. No, there's MIA, but what about AWOL? Now, I've never been in the military. I said the closest I ever got was a Boy Scout. You're supposed to laugh at that. That's supposed to be funny. But they're AWOL. What's AWOL? Absent without leave. Can I just ask you? I've thought about this, and I'm not going to get out of line. But Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day. What is that so much the more? As you see that day approach. What is that day? Well, you know, I think it's one of two. That day is either the Lord's day, that's Sunday, or it could be the day of the Lord when he comes back. I don't want to stand before him at the judgment seat and have to give an account of not being a faithful church member. I'll say this again. I don't know how it is in Virginia. I know how it is in South Carolina. People miss the house of God over the least little thing. And again, I realize that there are times when you cannot come. But all I'm trying to tell you tonight, don't let the devil be the reason why you are getting slack with your church attendance, with your Bible reading, with your faithfulness to God, doing God's will. Don't allow the devil to rob you of that blessed promise and that blessed privilege that you and I have. Because I'm telling you tonight, the devil will love nothing more than to get you out of the house of God. And it usually starts with your Bible. I asked the Sunday school class this Sunday morning, let me ask you, how much of this Bible do you read every day? Do you get in your Bible every day? Do you read your Bible every day? Do you study your Bible every day? If you don't, you don't know what you're missing. This Bible is where we get our strength from. This Bible is where we get our encouragement from. When I sit down and I read the Word of God and I study the Word of God, it empowers me. It gives me the strength and the help that I need. And listen, and that encourages me to get into the house of God and be faithful to God. But I'm going to tell you what, I want to get in this book every day, and I do. I try to get in this Bible every day and study it because I know that I need what's in this book. So let me ask you again, how much do you get in your Bible every day? I don't know how many Bibles I have. I probably have 30 or 40. You know, some men love to collect pocket knives, cars, guns. What else do y'all have? They collect, you know, I collect Bibles. I love Bibles. I've got 30 or 40 of them. I don't read them all at one time, but I do get my Bible down every day and read it. Not a day goes by that I don't read my. Well, you got. Well, you did that because you're a preacher. I hadn't always been a preacher. I hadn't always pastored. But I've always tried to get into the Bible and read it. I remember back down our way, some of you may have heard of Dr. Seidler, who used to pastor Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville. He's in glory today. And one of his grandsons, Benny Carper, Brother Benny got saved, and I used to listen to him on the radio when he was on the radio back down our way. And he was giving a radio broadcast one morning, and he was talking about the very first time that he read his Bible all the way through. He was excited. I mean, that just give him some help. And he run up there, and he used to call, Dr. Say, call him Papaw. He said, Papaw, guess what happened? Dr. Seidler said, what? And that deep voice he had. And he said, I read my Bible through for a year. And Dr. Seidler said, that's good, son. But how many times has the Bible been through you? Do you get it? We get this Bible down and we read it and it gets in us. But how many times do we read the Bible and it points out something in our life that God wants us to get rid of? Now you may be new to that, but I'm going to tell you something. There are just some things I don't think a child of God ought to do. Three of you agree with me. The rest of you can get an altar in a minute and let God tell you what the problem is. I just think it ought to be different. I know I'm running a rabbit, but let me give it. He done that, shouting the praises of God. Then he surrounded himself with the people of God. And then in verse number 7, the last thing, he was standing on the promises of God. The Bible tells us that God's promises in him are yea and amen. Notice the promises in him. There's promises that God has given you and I in this blessed old book that God has given us. And while you are studying the Word of God and God is teaching you the Word of God and God is instructing you through the Word of God and God is pointing out things in our lives that He wants us to get rid of. You know, the Bible tells in the book of Hebrews that we're to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. There may be something in your life, and listen, there's been some things in my life that was not necessarily a sin, but it was a weight, something that was hindering me, and God pointed it out in my life. I got to that place in my life after I got saved that I wanted to do God's will. I wanted to find God's will for my life and do whatever it is that God wanted me to do. As a 22-year-old young man, I was preaching taught that now that I'm saved, God has a will for my life. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You ever heard somebody say, well, preacher, I'm willing to die for God. He's not looking for somebody to die for him. He's looking for somebody to live for him. If you're here tonight and you're saved, God wants you to live for him. A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? By the Word of God, the power of the Word of God. You renew your mind, and God will speak to your heart. And there were some things that I was involved in. It was not necessarily a sin, but it was something that was going to hold me back, because God set me down in a revival meeting when I got an altar, and I began to pray, God, I want your will done in my life. And it's just like, I didn't hear no lightning flash, no thunder didn't roll. I didn't hear voices, but in my heart, in that altar, I felt like God said it to me, do you really want me to perform my will for you? Do you want to do my will for your life? And I told God, and I said, Lord, by your help and by your grace, I want to do your will for my life. And God, that very night, began to point things out in my heart and my life that I needed to take care of. It was not a sin, but it was something that was going to hold me back and hinder me from being all that God wanted me to be. But I'm glad for the promises that God has given us in this blessed King James Bible tonight. Word of God. Listen, this is where God is going to direct your life. He's not going to give you something from out in the world, but God's going to direct your will in the Word of God. He's going to use the Word of God. I thought about... I don't know if I wrote it down or not. I don't think I wrote it down. Yes, I did. Let me read you a verse of Scripture. You don't have to turn there. I'm just about through. Psalms 119 and verse 133. Well, I'm going to go back to verse 132. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou usest. You ever notice that word in the Bible? Now, that's an unusual word. As thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Verse 33, order my steps in thy word. Have you ever asked the Lord to do that? Have you ever asked the Lord to open up the Bible and allow him to take the Word of God and apply that to your heart and your life? I think that's why we got so many saved people in our churches today, that there's no excitement, there's no joy, there's no happiness in their lives. One preacher said this, if you're happy in the Lord, some of you need to notify your face. That he said that, I didn't. I'm just repeating what he said. Where's the happiness? Where's the joy? Where's the excitement? Think about this. You're not going to hell. Brother Brian, you couldn't go to hell tonight if you changed your mind and closed your Bible and went home. Still couldn't go to hell. Has God not blessed you? every one of us sitting here tonight would have to lift our hand toward heaven and say, God sure has been good to me. Better than we deserve. If we got what we deserve, listen, we'd be in hell tonight with our backs broke. But the grace and the mercy of God that He extended our way, He saved our never dying soul, wrote our name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, preparing us a room in heaven. Preparing us a home in heaven. God, listen, and takes care of us every day, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. Every day of our life, somehow, God blesses us, keeps us. Hey, especially if you get out on the interstate today. I mean, well, all the drivers up here not no better than they are down in South Carolina. You know, if you give them an inch, you know, we're coming back from D.C. last night. If you give them an inch, they're going to scram in there. It's like the devil. If you give the devil an inch, he'll become your ruler. Let me give you another quote. I thought about this. As long as we're flirting with the world, eventually you're going to fall in love with the world. So here's what David done. His comment. He started shouting praises to God. He surrounded himself with the people of God, and he started standing on the promises of God. Now, I don't know your heart and your life. I don't know what you may be here tonight, and you may be in a deep, dark, damp, dangerous cave tonight. I hope that I have showed you that the best thing you could do is just give it to God. I think we have a little plaque on our in our house that says something like this: give it to God and go to sleep. Where are you tonight? Spiritually. Spiritually tonight, where are you tonight? Are you on the mountaintop? Are you down in the valley? Or are you somewhere in between? If you're here tonight and you need some help, let me challenge you. And I'm not just trying to get people to come to the altar. Whether anybody comes or not, that's not going to make any... Well, I want you to get some help. But I'm not going to say it's a bummer of a message if nobody comes. I just believe that every time we come to the house of God, that there's something in that message that we can get out of it. I may not need the entire message. I promise you Sunday morning's message. God spoke to my heart Sunday morning. God spoke to me Sunday night. I'm waiting on Him to speak to me tonight. If He does tonight, I'll get an altar. All I'm trying to get you to understand tonight is that you don't have to stay in that cave. You can get out of it. You can get out of it tonight. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. As the musician comes tonight, if we get somebody, is anybody left? Miss Emily? Get her to play something tonight. If you're here tonight and you need some help, would you come down here and have a talk with the Lord? I don't know your heart. I don't know you. Like I said, preacher, if I come, somebody would think I've done something wrong. No, they won't. You're among saved people. You're among family people tonight. If you're here tonight and you need some help, no matter where you are, come down here tonight as these have already come. Do business with God. Let Him help you tonight, would you? Father, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that You'd have Your will and Your way. I pray for these that are in the altars. God, whatever they're praying about, I pray that You'd meet those needs. If others need to come, I pray that You'd send them. May Thy will be done tonight, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.